Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, we are very excited to reintroduce to Atlanta DeAndre Walker. He will be in the NFL next season. This dude has superhero shoulders, man. It just came right in the Kia Studios, walked right up to me, grabbed my hand. DeAndre, you are like a go-get-it guy. I can tell right now, we've known each other for 2.5 minutes. I can tell you are a no-nonsense, go-for-it guy.
Yeah, I don't mess around. I guess it's safe to say that.
We could see that, and you've got a personality because when we walked in, you're kind of laughing. You said, hey, I'm staying here till 2 o'clock. Yeah. We'd be more than welcome to have you. You can stay till 2. I'll take the rest of the day off. I'm going to play with the kids.
I might have to take the show over after this. I might not have a job anymore.
Don't do that to us. You've got bigger things on your plate right now, and that's getting ready for the NFL draft. We were talking off the air. You get invited to the combine, but you may not participate in the combine. Why is that?
I just had surgery on my birthday, actually, January 23rd, so – it'll take 6 to 8 weeks for me to recover from that. So the combine would be right at 6. So I probably wouldn't make it until then. And then my pro day, hopefully I get a chance to show off my talents there. If not, then personal workouts, and then it just goes from there. So it's a process.
Well, the cool thing is you put a lot of great tape on a lot of great play on tape, obviously, with the Georgia Bulldogs. We've got edge rusher extraordinaire DeAndre Walker hanging out with us. Here in the Kia studio. So, DeAndre, what draft grade do you put on yourself right now?
I mean, I don't really want to put a grade on myself because it never really mattered to me. It doesn't matter to me where I get drafted at, as long as I get a chance to play football.
So you don't want to put it out there right now, yo, I'm a first-round guy. I'm in the top 32 of this draft. You don't want to be that boastful?
I don't really want to set any limits to myself, so doesn't matter to me where I go, as long as I get to play football.
What are some of the things that you've had to work on getting ready for the combine? Obviously, with surgery, it's different. You're not going to work on the 40 time and stuff like that. But what are things that you're working on to get better at that maybe some of the scouts have told you need to work on to improve your draft stock?
I mean, I feel like there's always room for improvement. So just dropping back into coverage, learning the game, knowing who I'm getting ready to go up against during game time situations, and just being a student of the game.
I love it. DeAndre Walker hanging out with Rick and John here. I know, what a treat. How much pressure did you feel with you know, sack leaders from the year before, Carter and Bellamy leaving, obviously Roquan Smith left as well, and you and a couple other guys were like the dudes. How much pressure did you feel to take over for those guys and keep it going to Georgia?
I don't really think there was any kind of pressure. I just think that once they left, I guess I was learning from their mistakes. I saw what to do right, what not to do, and so far. So it wasn't really too much pressure. It was just a learning experience for me, and I felt like I stepped in, and I feel some heavy shoes. So now that might be a better question for the guy coming up after me.
7.5 sacks a year ago. You guys play kind of a multiple defense, but more out of a 3-4 set. Are you set as a 3-4 outside backer, or would you feel comfortable if a team drafts you and they go 4-3 and you got to put your hand in the dirt?
As far as the team drafting me, I feel like I can do it all. I can drop back into coverage. I can put my hand in the three. I get in 3-point stance. I can even play middle linebacker, in my opinion. So it doesn't really matter, as long as I get to, like I said, get to put on a uniform and tie up my cleats and go play football.
You said a couple of times drop into coverage. Would you rather drop into coverage and cover Rob Gronkowski, and I use him as a tight end, or do you want to go get a quarterback and snack on a quarterback?
Well, I feel like I would first, second down is a rundown, so I would love to put my hand in the dirt and defend a run, and then on third down, I want to be able to go drop back into coverage if possible, or rush the pass, which either or.
Okay.
I love it. DeAndre Walker hanging out with us, man. Let's talk about Elijah Holyfield for just a minute. I'm absolutely blown away at the physicality of Elijah Holyfield, the agility, the speed, the balance. I think he's going to take over the combine. I've got like a late first round grade on him. I think he's going to be an exceptional NFL player. Just physically speaking, like is he one of the most impressive guys you've ever played with?
Man, Izzy, like you said, when I walked through the door, you mentioned my shoulders. If he was to walk through the door, you'd think he was the Hulk, and you'd have to probably calm him down. But, I mean, he's a very talented young man, and he's very humble and very, motivated and passionate about what he does, and he works very hard.
One of the things I marvel with Kirby Smart coming in, taking over for Mark Richt, he's brought in so much talent to the Georgia program. You're obviously part, you were a stayover from Mark Richt's regime. How did that mesh in the locker room? Because it didn't seem like there were a lot of egos on the ball club when it came to, I'm a five-star and I'm a five-star. It seemed like you guys just went out there and trying to kick the crap out of whoever you played.
Well, when Coach Smart came over, I just think that he brought a different mentality to the program, and it was just win, work hard, win, and do whatever it takes and stay out of trouble. So I think everybody bought in, and he was much younger than Coach Richt, so he was able to relate to us on a different level than Mark Richt, I feel like. So it was just time for a change, and it was a perfect timing, and it was a good change.
Very heady guy that we have, DeAndre Walker here. I can tell you're poised beyond your years, and this microphone isn't scaring you at all. Very confident, man. Young man. I'm impressed, DeAndre. I really am. I'm not surprised, but I'm impressed. I do have a question. Going back to the SEC championship game in the days before that, John and I talked dogs a ton here. And I was just, as a part of our analysis of the game, DeAndre, I said, the dogs have to get to Tua Tagovailoa. He is dinged. He is wounded. He is hurt. And if they want to go after that knee, I recommend it because it's all about winning the football game. And then early in the game, I see DeAndre Walker sack Tua Tagovailoa and kind of give him a little extra down there. And then we saw a different Tua the rest of the game. Y'all knew he was hurt, didn't you?
Going into the game, we knew he was kind of banged up, and going against him last year, how he came in and won the game, it was like, man, we can't let this happen again. So I think we was well prepared, and we knew, we watched film, studied the game, studied him, and where he liked to run, he liked to scramble out right. So on that play that you mentioned where I sacked him, I stayed on his right, and he ran right into me. And I mean, I didn't purposely try to hurt him, but he rolled his ankle, and that was kind of where he was injured at before. So. But, and then also to say, I was like, I can't let him beat us again like he did last year. So that was a little bit like, I would like to hurt him, but I mean,
yes,
I had to stay. I that's how I feel like in the SEC championship, I got hurt. And I think I got hurt three plays before he went out.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like, I got hurt, and then three plays later, he went out and got hurt, and then the other quarterback came in. So it was crazy. It was crazy, man. So I feel like, going into the game, I was putting hurt out there and didn't know who I was putting it out there for, and I messed around and I got hurt. So I would never go into a game trying to hurt somebody like that ever again.
Richt and I have a philosophical difference with preparation for the game. He's mad that Kirby didn't necessarily have you guys ready for Tua 2 years ago. I said Tua had played in mop-up duty. I really didn't see a point in doing it. This year, same thing. Tua's a Heisman Trophy contender, and Jalen Hurts ends up coming in because Tua gets injured. How much did you guys prepare for the backup quarterback? And was it something that after the game y'all looked back and said maybe we should have done more getting ready for these guys?
The first time we played Tua, I don't think we really prepared for him because, honestly, we didn't. Going into halftime, Coach Smart was like, Tua finna get in the game. Somehow he knew it was crazy. I was like, walking into the locker room, like, who was Tua? But then this year, I think we was very well prepared. And I'm going to just keep it 100. I feel like when I got hurt, the whole game changed. If you go back and watch, I got hurt in the third quarter, 6 minutes left. And after that, it was like they were still calling blitzes that we had set up for Tua. But when Hurts came into the game, like I said, he was still calling those blitzes. He should have just called a timeout, got everybody together, and we probably would have won that game.
I love it, man. We're getting a lot smarter. We're getting taken on the inside by DeAndre Walker, former dog. Next year he will be in the NFL and gainfully employed by somebody. Give me your thoughts on Kirby Smart and the fake punt. With about 3 minutes to go in the SEC championship game, 28-28, what's going through your brain?
Honestly, like I said, I got hurt around that time. I wasn't on the field, and I was trying to get back into the game. So I didn't really see the fake punt go down, you know what I'm saying? So it wasn't – I don't really have an opinion on it. I just think that, I mean, he was trying to win the game. Like he said, when he came in after the locker room, he didn't want to tie the game. He didn't want to go into no overtime or anything like that. He was out there playing to win, so – he felt like that was the best call to put us in the situation to win. So, I mean, he's the head coach. He had to take that one on the chin, and, I mean, it is what it is.
You guys obviously had the two tough losses to Alabama. Let's talk positive. What were your favorite moments as a Georgia Bulldog? Like games that stand out that you get off the field and go, we did something that we haven't done in a long time here.
It's crazy, though. I mean, well, I say the SEC championship because I did have I played very well in that game. And then this past SEC championship, I mean, it didn't go the way that I wanted it to go, but I feel like I did play pretty well while I was out there. And then once I did lead a game, you can tell that I was a very huge factor in the game. So,
who do you like beating more? Florida, Tennessee, Georgia Tech? Which one, because I know all you guys have like 9 rivals, or throw Auburn in the mix as well, and they cried their way into an earlier season game, but that's neither here nor there. Who do you like beating the most out of them?
Well, I want to explain each of the games.
Okay.
Georgia Tech is an easy win. It has been an easy win. That's pretty much why they fired their coach if it wasn't. So I think they realized
I love this dude.
That's like a field day for the University of Georgia, so that's not really a rivalry because we beat them all the time. But Tennessee, when it comes down to Tennessee, the whole coaching staff left Georgia to go to Tennessee. So, I mean, they was all under each other. So that'll be a huge rivalry, way more. And then when it comes down to Florida, we beat them the last 2 years as well. So I don't really think that's a rivalry either. None of those games are really rivals. The one that's closest to it would be Auburn.
Okay.
But, I mean, I don't want to kick the mess out of any team that we face. So it doesn't really matter.
Have you heard about the schedule flip thing? John and I, the last 2 days, have been flipping out about the schedule flip thing. So what do you think? It felt like the SEC just kind of forced Georgia, you're going to do this, whether you like it or not, to move the Auburn game back a couple of months to suit Auburn's needs. And UGA did not get the home game back for Auburn having back-to-back home games in the series in 2012-2013. I said yesterday, I think the SEC gave the Georgia fan base and the Georgia program a turd sandwich to snack upon. What says you?
When it comes down to that turd sandwich, man, I don't really pay attention to the media like that. But, I mean, it was probably one of Auburn's coaches crying about how they couldn't face us early in the year or something like that, and they needed time to recover or whatnot. Because by that time, like 12 weeks in, your whole team is banged up. So he was probably complaining about that. But I don't know. I don't know.
How did you guys handle this year with Jake and Justin? How'd you handle that? Because Justin comes in, number 2 recruit in the country, number 1 for some services, and Jake Fromm's a star. Was there any divide in the locker room with those two?
No, never. I mean, if anything, it was the coaches that had the hardest decision to make. But each guy came in each day working hard and trying to better the team and themselves. So that's all that really mattered. And they both are amazing guys and players as well.
And now, you know, I mean – it splits, and right, we're going to see Justin Fields max out what he can do up in Ohio State. Can't wait to watch it. And from, we'll have that much more opportunity with the Dogs. DeAndre Walker is with us here in the Kia Studios. And DeAndre, I have one more sort of go back in time question for you. Did the Dogs spill maximum effort in the bowl game against Texas? Because we hear all the time about SEC and, oh, well, they lost this game and they're dejected and they didn't even want it. They didn't even show up. They did, and all that stuff. So what? So how full was the gas tank for the Texas game?
I mean, I knew that question was coming. And for some reason, it's crazy I knew that question was coming. But I don't think that they really were giving maximum effort in that game. And then I just think that they felt like they didn't have anything to play for because we thought we were going to be in the playoffs, still be able to make it, but we didn't. And I feel like they didn't take the game very serious. And then to say as well, I feel like me not being out there, it was also another big thing. And then DeAndre Baker wasn't out there as well. So everybody was pretty much, mindsets had kind of altered and was getting ready for the next year. So
we got to ask you, we always like to do fun questions. You're obviously getting ready for the combine, all this stuff. What music are you like? You're College Park? Langston Hughes High School, what are you listening to when you get ready for a game?
Man, I'm listening to T.I.
Nice!
T.I.
Anything else or just T.I.?
Oh, I listen to T.I., Migos, Future, mainly T.I. and Future.
Kendrick Lamar at all?
Come on, man. He sings, right?
Nah, he more right. Well, he sings some, a little bit.
No, I don't know. I got to get my mind locked in. And growing up, I always listened to T.I., so that's who I listen to. He put me in my zone, and it's on from there.
DeAndre, best of luck coming up in the NFL.
You're the man,
we'd love
DeAndre
to have you here in Atlanta. Stick around. You can come on here anytime you want.
All right, well, I'm going to take over the show for the rest of these.
I'm going home.
So y'all can go ahead.
We got mouths to feed, bro. Stop coming for our money, man.
I got mouths to feed, too.
Only if I can get a cut of that NFL money. You can have the show.
Come on, man.
Dude, we really appreciate
cool
you
dude,
coming
man.
By.
Thank you, DeAndre.
Thank you.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.